Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. With me, as always, is Kristen Studdard.
That's a me.
What the hell?
Not just having fun.
Okay, throwing a weird Italian stereotype in there for no reason.
No problem. That is, hey, you said it. I did not.
Yeah, okay. You said it.
Hey,
it just, all right.
Joe,
we don't have to dwell on it.
Is this how you want to start the episode?
No,
I don't think
not.
It is.
Let's bring
Move
in our
forward.
Guest. Let's bring in our guest. We're very happy to have him here. Very funny and successful writer and producer. From shows like Parks and Recreation, Everybody Loves Raymond, The Carmichael Show, maybe most notably the writer of several classic Simpsons episodes and the showrunner for that classic TV show, Mike Scully.
Yeah.
Hi. How you
hi,
doing?
Mike.
And I'm deeply offended by the Italian stereotype that we started with.
Mike, wow. He nearly walked out.
I was very upset.
Me, I'm just trying to mix it up right off the top.
Yeah, as you can tell by my voice, I get outraged very easily.
Yeah, so, yeah, you seem like you have a
quick
fiery
to
temper.
Boil.
Yes, I'm
quick
kind
to
of a hothead.
Boil. Yeah. A hothead over here.
Good God. Well, Mike, thank you for doing the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I tried to concisely sum up what you're getting into before we started recording. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not a thing that a lot of people really pay much attention to or really care about, hence the title. But I'm curious what you're coming into this in terms of your own knowledge about this institution.
What I know about it, it's something I kind of pretend not to care about it, mm-hmm. and always say, "Well, it's a bullshit award," and it's mm-hmm. this. And that. But then, if a band I like is left out, then I get really angry
mm-hmm.
And get quite passionate about it.
Yeah,
so you follow who's in and who's
I
out.
Do,
then.
I do, and particularly like the last few years, I've been voting quite a bit. I've lost faith in American politics, so I'm just channeling
divert.
It all into the
wow,
Rock Hall now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the sad news. Are you voting online?
Yeah. Yes,
right,
I do.
Do you know the odds on the vote online?
I do track it. Like, there's one band
you
in particular I've been trying to lobby for the last few years. So I was like voting on a daily basis.
For
and,
who?
For the Jay Giles.
You've
band.
Been voting for Jay Giles
yes,
this
yeah,
whole time.
Yeah.
Oh wow! So you're actually truly invested. You've gone to the website.
Yeah,
I've gone to the website. Yes,
that alone is enough to put you way ahead of most of our guests.
Yeah,
in terms
this is
of
wild.
Awareness, acknowledgement. Yeah,
and you know who's in the lead right now? Then who's in the number one spot?
Well,
you know?
Oh,
right now, I don't know.
They don't do it right now.
This is
they
too early,
right?
Because there's no nominees out.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of like what's going on at the museum.
Right, because in Cleveland at the museum there are kiosks where you can go and you can type in who you think should be in, and they have they have a running tally.
Do we know who's in the
I
top
still haven't
right
actually
now?
Been to the hall.
To the museum?
I've never been
yeah.
there.
It's pretty fun.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. At first you'd think lame, but then you go and you're like, this actually is, they have
it's
a lot
pretty,
of cool things.
It's how I feel about our podcast.
Yeah, you're like, this is
like,
going to suck.
Like at first you think,
then...
you're like, oh no, this is lame. And then you're like, oh no, it's pretty funny. I like it.
No, yeah. I've thought about like flying to Cleveland for it, but I always wonder, what am I going to do the next day?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It.
Fly home.
Yeah.
Exactly. In the lead right now at the museum is Motley Crue.
Oh, because of that
See,
fucking
like,
movie.
Right off the bat, I'm pissed.
Yeah, of course. It's hard not to care.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's even worse than that Italian stereotype that we started
yes.
with. Yeah,
yeah, we already have something new to hate, yes. and it's at Motley. I mean,
I'm glad that we can move on from my fun little joyful bit, my fun little way I introduced
no,
myself
we,
that we can't let
it's
go.
It's important for us to invalidate your joy at
Thank
every
you.
Corner. yeah, it's because of that movie, because of the dirt.
Oh.
I mean, the effect of movies on
well,
the...
And, on the,
on the museum goers in particular.
Because isn't Freddie Mercury solo also in the top 10?
After fucking Bohemian Rhapsody came out, people started putting in Freddie Mercury solo because he did technically put out an album
yeah.
as a solo artist, so he's technically eligible, but why on earth? But it's a thing.
That's kind of like the Art Garfunkel album or something. Like, it's
yeah,
just...
Yeah, like, just
it's, he did great things with the band. You know,
but yeah, so, yeah, we don't really acknowledge...
We don't need a double for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one knows of Freddie Mercury.
But that's
solo.
What it's what happens though. People are like, Freddie Mercury's not in, and yeah. you're like, well, he's in with Queen, but he's not in as, and it just people
and then it snowballs
are
and then
very stupid. The public overall is quite dumb.
Yeah, I mean, in you know, elections big and small recently, we've
yeah.
determined
yes, yeah.
definitively.
Question. Joe, question.
Yes.
If you are at the museum and you put into the kiosk somebody who's already in, mm-hmm. does it allow you to vote for them?
It depends, but I think so. Because I think someone, I mean, every once in a while people post screenshots of this kiosk. And I think someone put in the OJs, who are already in, but they left out the apostrophe, so it technically could go through.
but like if you were to put in, like now, if I were to type out Janet Jackson, it would not allow me to vote for
correct.
That.
I think it would. Okay. I don't think the technology is very sophisticated, but I think it would recognize that that is a person.
That is already.
But if you put like two N's in Janet, then it could probably go
then
through.
Then I could slide through and get in the number, yeah. You know, 8,541 spot.
My favorite was that someone was confused and they put their email address. So it popped up as, who do you think should be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And it was just like MikeScully@gmail.com. Which everyone's stupid and bad.
Okay, wait. So you go and you would vote. What is the, like...
After the nominees have been... The ballot.
Then the ballot online, the public gets one ballot.
Correct.
So how much does that count for overall? It's like 1/1000th
kind
of a vote, right?
No one knows an accurate number.
Like the public
choose it, like the top five.
One ballot. So like,
count for one ballot of probably about 1,000 that go into, in terms of the people who are voting. There's no accurate number, but it's probably around 1,000 people voting once the nominees come out.
So tens of thousands of people come together and
all right,
get
I now
one
understand
ballot.
The title of the podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you nearly walked out just now.
A lot of opportunities for you to leave.
Have you watched an induction ceremony before, Matt?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. For anyone in particular?
Yeah, well, I definitely have. I watched, you know, for Springsteen and when he was inducted again with the whole
band.
E Street Band.
Oh my gosh, the E Street Band half hour.
Yes, yeah.
God, really, the longest.
Devoted a lot of time.
Because
we were watching that one not too long ago, and because I forced her to watch the induction ceremonies.
We were catching up on all the ones that he could get.
I could find
on.
That yeah. She could watch, and that ceremony was clipping along.
It was such a good ceremony. It was great. Halfway through, then there's 35 to 40 minutes of just
the
Bruce
E Street
Springsteen
band.
Yeah,
talking.
Yeah, and I thought it was very like generous of Bruce to include, you know, the guys from the very beginning, you know, like Vinny Mad Dog Lopez and like the drummer on the first,
David Sanchez.
And I think like, and I'm sure they were all told before they went out, you know, try to keep it to 30 seconds.
I believe they were, it was literally 30 seconds.
I think
they were told.
And I think, you know, like Lopez right off the bat did like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Rumors are that David Sanchez talked for maybe 30 minutes, like 20 to 30 minutes, just himself.
Wow.
And yeah, like Max Weinberg was
when
really,
it got to people who actually had something to say, I think like Nils and other people who had been with the band a long time, I think they felt kind of self-conscious. Or Roy Bittan, I think, didn't say that much.
Yeah.
When he had much more to say.
Of course.
Well,
they
even cut it, you know, they edited it down for the
broadcast,
television
yeah.
broadcast. But even that, I mean, it was 15 minutes of Bruce and
yeah,
then 15
well, they
to
kept,
20.
They probably kept all of
thing.
Bruce's speech,
and
which
then,
he took his time.
Yeah.
15 to 20 minutes of the rest of the band
of just
talking.
Them talking, and then they don't do this that much anymore, but they interspersed it with the performance too, because they were like, we just gotta move.
Yeah, they did like a long jam of Kitty's Back and just dropped in snippets of what people were saying, but I heard it went on forever.
Good Christ.
It was, I can't imagine if I had been that at that ceremony, I would have been mad.
Yeah,
I like Springsteen fine, but I'm not a devotee. I'm not a Springer. What would I be called? I'm not a steen virgin.
I'm
not a burgeoning steen.
Yeah.
I am not a born to runner.
So that ceremony where the E Street Band was inducted, did you consider going to the ceremony itself?
You know, every year I always think about it would be fun to go, and for some reason I just never get around to it. But yeah, that one would have been one I would have liked to have been there. But unless I feel like I could get decent seats, I know you're going to wind up in the back of the room. And yeah. I've heard it's a long night.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's usually at least 5 hours.
But it's very much like the Writers Guild Awards. It's like, even if you know you're going to win, you kind of don't want to be there.
No.
That it's very tedious.
Right. Yeah, yeah. the more recent ceremonies, they've cut down on the speeches. It seems like a concerted effort, and then they've given the bands more time to play, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's great. And a couple of years ago, who was it? Yes was inducted, and Rick Wakeman started doing stand-up. He was just telling jokes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was the one. Yeah. I was trying to remember. I'm like, yes, when did they get... We watched that induction ceremony.
Yeah, Rick Wakeman.
What were his jokes?
I mean, about like getting a prostate exam. Yes.
Like, oh, got some Catskills jokes.
But I think he was wearing the cape from from the kind of classic days of the band.
Yeah.
He had the cape on, but he was telling jokes about getting a prostate exam.
Yeah, he was really like...
No, rock and roll, man.
Jokes that had nothing to do with him. I mean, they were like, they're from, a joke book. They're from... Rick Wakeman married his cape maker.
What? What?
It's some story where it's like he broke up with his first wife because he was having an affair with his cape maker.
You know, you spend really that much time, measuring someone's shoulders, the girth of their neck, you're bound to fall in love.
Yeah, you know.
It's a very intimate garment, a cape.
Good God.
Shrouding someone's back.
Yeah. It's funny, a lot of the ceremonies now, particularly like the last 10, 15 years, is a lot of the bands I saw as a kid, when I was growing up and going to concerts. So it is kind of fun to see like how they all wound up, and sometimes how great they still sound together.
Who were the ones like people that you were, or bands you were most excited? So Springsteen and Yes, any other notable ones that have been inducted recently that you were like, hell yeah?
U2 and any of the classic, and I think Foo Fighters are in now.
No, they're not eligible yet.
Oh, they're not eligible yet. No, Dave Grohl's just always around.
Oh, Dave Grohl's always there.
Nirvana
yes.
is in.
Nirvana's in, and when Foo Fighter, but Grohl inducted Joan Jett, right?
Yeah.
He was there. He played with Joan Jett, yeah.
Yeah, but I think he was kind of instrumental in getting her. Mm-hmm. He really lobbied hard for her. Yeah.
The year before
Joan Jett was inducted, they did, for the Nirvana tribute, they did four songs with four different female artists as the singer, and Joan Jett did Smells Like Teen Spirit, and that was the year before she got inducted, and I bet that helped a lot.
Yeah, because there's a great video online of Foo Fighters playing Bad Reputation with Joan Jett, I think in Madison Square Garden. And Dave Grohl's love of rock and roll is one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's infectious.
To watch. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, I think it was I can't remember if it was Grammys or Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where they did London Calling, where it was Grohl, Bruce.
That was Grammys.
Little Steven and Elvis. That was Grammys. Mm-hmm. All right. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has those great shows like the Tom Petty, the tribute to George Harrison
with Prince.
Petty and Jeff Lynne. But yeah, Prince, that's solo,
an all-time
that's
moment.
Just that move of falling into backwards the to the crowd and his guy catching him, putting him back up, and then just the throwing the guitar,
straight up in the air,
don't even look, and he just walks off stage. Is one of the best like badass rock and roll moves
that
I've ever
seen. Rock and roll.
That's one of the great performances of anything.
Totally,
I think, ever.
Yeah,
the fact that you never see the guitar come down, too, is really some Prince magic.
Well,
yeah.
He was just sending it up there. He knew he was going to die one day, and he said... He sent it up. Yeah,
he
sent it up to George.
He sent it up to George.
Said, hold that for me. I'll be there.
I'll be there in a bit.
Who inducted Joan Jett, then? If it
Miley Cyrus. Remember?
I don't remember.
Miley Cyrus gave the speech, but then she played... it was Miley, Dave Grohl, and Tommy James, who originally did Crimson and Clover with Joan Jett, which was pretty cool. Didn't help Tommy James's
bid.
No, he has never been even on a ballot.
He hasn't?
No, which you'd think.
I would have assumed he was. Other than he did Crimson and Clover,
now. He did Hanky Panky. Mm-hmm. He did Dragging the Line. He did Money Money. We're Alone Now.
Okay. He's like, those are bar band songs, I feel like. That's a Lil Steven's got to love him.
They were hit songs.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I just think of like.
With Lil Steven, who's on the nominating committee. You would think he, of all people, would appreciate Tommy James and would bring him up in the room.
Like I think he's like a great advocate for a lot of the same bands I like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my
He's feeling. Your guy on the inside.
Yeah, Tommy James, come on. I mean, there's a half dozen just great, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Yeah.
you know,
and songs that people still know and you still hear,
but that you don't know are by I don't think of that as like, that's like the sound of a bar band in my head. Right. It's not a distinctive sound of a single artist. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm not like, oh yeah, that Tommy James. I truly do not know who that is.
Yeah, it's almost like a magic trick or something where like, oh, that song's by the 60s.
Yeah.
That song's by a bar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But it's all this one
I'm
guy.
Actually just thinking of others. I Think We're Alone Now. Great fucking
right.
song.
Did
I
mean, he
just,
write that?
He did. Yeah. He has
this
a distinction.
This is what I mean. And I think too, all these songs that were covered by people in the 80s too, Moni Moni.
Well,
and like,
his distinction, I think, is interesting, which is that he's the only person who has had two of his songs covered by people that were consecutive number one hits. It was Billy Idol covered Moni Moni, right. and then Tiffany covered I Think We're Alone Now, and they were both number one back to back.
Yeah.
Which is hard
but
to...
But I'm just finding out now he's not in.
No, he's not in.
He's not in, but
I'm just finding
Motley Crue is nominated.
Exists.
Motley Crue isn't nominated, but people at the museum are pushing for him.
Yeah, this is insanity.
Yeah, it's foolish.
Tommy James is his name?
Tommy James and the Shondells.
And the Shondells,
is his band.
When were they popular?
60s.
The 60s?
Yeah,
just...
right. Mid to late 60s.
Okay.
Yeah. I think our friend Andy Paley... used to push for them in the nominating committee. He is
Andy's,
no longer on the nominating committee.
But, oh, he's not?
No, he's not. But he said that was a name he would bring up, and it kind of got
someone
dismissed.
Should do an episode for him, because I'd like to learn about that. I think it would be...
I think I might call up our friend Andy and have him
call
come
him
back.
And see if he'll
He hasn't been on the show in a while.
And I don't think he's ever done a single episode, just him.
He has not.
So
and they're running out of great rock bands, you know, to induct.
They're clearing out the 60s, baby. They're at the bottom
of
the barrel.
Should have been in a long time ago.
Yeah,
this is like so shocking. This is the most shocking thing I've ever heard.
What's shocking to me is
Mike pulled out a fan and started
fanning
himself. He got the vapors.
I can't believe that Tommy James is an artist that I should know of.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy to me. I truly can't. I mean, I know almost all of those songs. And
yeah, right.
I mean, I was in third grade when I heard JFK was assassinated. This is more shocking right now.
Yeah. This is it.
It takes the number one slot.
Number one spot. Tommy James isn't in there. Number
Tommy James,
two,
JFK.
My Italian accent.
Right, yeah.
Number three, JFK.
Yeah, this is really... So do you think, though... Well, I guess what I want to transition to is, you know a lot of rock stars through The Simpsons. I mean, maybe know is a generous term.
Yeah, met would be. Yeah.
Worked with.
Recorded.
I mean, you you pressed a button and said, that sounds great to some of the best rock stars of all time. But you wrote and produced the most rock-centric Simpsons episode of all time.
The Bartman. I'm kidding.
Good Lord.
Kidding.
The music video for The Bartman. You coined the Bartman.
Listen, rock will never die, baby.
No, Mike wrote an episode called How I Spent My Strummer Vacation, which has Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Elvis Costello, Tom Petty, Brian Setzer, Lenny Kravitz.
Yep. Yeah.
And so you have met those people. I called them your friends or whatever I said before. But that must have been, I mean, the episode's about Homer going to rock fantasy camp. In a sense, it was also you getting to go to a rock fantasy camp of sorts.
Totally. But the evolution of that show was a weird one. It started like 2 years earlier. I had an idea that Homer winds up having too much to drink at Moe's. They put him in a cab, and on the way home, he's drunkenly talking about all of his failed dreams and everything he gave up when he got married and had kids. And it winds up, he doesn't realize it's like a taxi cab confessions type show, that it's being recorded. And when he's at home, a week later, they're watching TV and it's on, and he's saying all these horrible things about his family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I always had the first act of the show in my head of what it was going to be, but I never could figure out what is the rest of the show. And
you were just living with your family and children.
Yes.
Being like, well, I know what this story has to
there
be.
There was actually a line in it that I actually said to my family before, that, you know, marriage is like a coffin and each kid is a nail. But I always say it with, but as coffins go. And so I knew that was going to be in the show.
Right.
But I didn't want the remainder of the two acts of the show of just being Homer apologizing or trying to make good. That was kind of boring to me.
Yeah. And so, it's kind of a Simpsons thing also to start in one place and then really divert into a completely new direction.
We love to go as long as we can without the story actually kicking in.
Yeah, right.
But that one, so I had it on a white index card on a board in the room, and it sat there for 2 years, and the card yellowed over time. And then one day I was driving to work listening to Howard Stern. Leslie West, the guitar player from Mountain, was on, and he was had been starting this rock and roll fantasy camp, and it was him and I think Alice Cooper and the guys from Cheap Trick, and he explained and it was like, boom, that is it, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. What if the family thought Homer had a point about all the dreams he gave up? So instead of being mad at him, they turn and give him this vacation.
They're sorry. He's not sorry. Yeah, the family is sorry.
Yes,
they
exactly.
They wrecked his life.
and then we broke the rest of the story that day. Mm-hmm. And then just started writing stuff for it. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you took the idea of the real rock fantasy camp and then did it with more famous musicians.
Well, I actually started writing it with... those particular people, because I know we can probably get them all to do it.
Yeah,
they're running an actual rock fantasy camp, we can get them on the Simpsons.
Yeah, and
will Leslie West do the Simpsons?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'd already had written a few of those scenes, and then we got a call. Denise Surcot, one of the producers of Gracie Films, she used to be in the music business. She got a call from the manager of the Stones, saying, hey, you know, the guys are planning on going on tour next year. Is there anything, like, any way to tie in the show, or if they were on the show?
And you were already working on this episode.
I was working on this episode, and so suddenly, like, bye, Cheap Trick. Bye, Leslie West. Uh-huh. I mean, they're all great.
Of course.
But suddenly, like, we could get the Stones on the show.
Yeah, and once you got the Stones,
then the dominoes fall, right?
Derek and the dominoes just fall.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the only one who survived from the first draft to the other was Brian Setzer. Mm-hmm. Because my daughter had been dating his son.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, that's a good enough reason.
Yeah, and we knew each other personally, and I think he's a lot of fun. And for me, he actually... When we first screened the episode after it was completed, he got the biggest laugh in the writer's room with the, you know, I hope you won't judge the entire Brian Setzer orchestra by my actions. and that's the writer's favorite line. Of all the stars in the show, that's our favorite joke.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible to be surrounded by all those icons like that.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like you said, it really was kind of my like rock fantasy, with the exception of not having Bruce there. But
did you try?
I didn't on that one. I had tried a few previous times, and his publicist said all he likes to do is play music and hang out with his kids. And I was like, that fucker.
You know? You should be on my Screw cartoon.
Yeah.
Typical asshole rock star.
Yeah. Wow.
Piece of shit.
So, yeah.
Maybe tell his kids that you write a cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, you would think usually the gateway to some of those stars is through their kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. We play that card all the time.
Uh-huh.
But Mick and Keith was just...
Did they all come in and record, like...
Not together? The same time. I mean, yeah. Right?
No, they all came in
we
separately.
We Are the World style?
Yeah.
No, did they all get it? But they all came into the... Like, they didn't send you... They didn't, like...
Yeah, at the end of the
London
episode, instead of our normal closing, I put in, like, footage...
Right.
Of a little snippets of each of them recording their dialogue. And there's a great joke that Dan Castellaneta, who plays Homer and so many other characters, ad-libbed in the show. He was in recording while we were doing Mick Jagger. And in the show, Homer thinks he's going to get to play with the Stones or with this band. And he finds out he's just there as a roadie. So Mick says, Homer's asking, how many guitar solos should I take? Four? I'll take four. and Mick says, no, Homer, all we need you to do is tap the mic and say, check, check. And Dan ad-libbed Homer going, can't you do it? And in the clip at the end of the show, there's a shot of Mick just cracking up, and it was at that ad lib of Dan's. And I think really in whatever, you know, 45 years, no one had ever said that to Mick Jagger before. Can't
right.
you do it?
Yeah.
And he found it so funny.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that's completely. Great. Yeah. Like,
oh, the irreverence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good God. That's incredible.
Yeah. But they so all came amazing. In separately, but they were a lot of fun having them in the room. It was just cool. They signed, you know, stuff for us, album covers, guitars. And mm-hmm. like, everybody was just a fun to work with.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Now I got to ask you, you got to put a lot of rock stars in an episode and other episodes of The Simpsons. You know, there's frequently guest stars. You love the Jay Giles Band. Did you ever bring that up or try that or even put a song of theirs into The Simpsons?
I don't think I ever have put a song of theirs in. And for that particular episode, I didn't. There were certain people I would have loved to have had, but couldn't figure out what their role would be
right.
in the camp, or it would just be repeating mm-hmm. what somebody else mm-hmm. was doing. I didn't approach them. I think Peter Wolfe did something a few years back, and I don't recall if it made it to the final cut of the an episode, because I only work on the show one day a week now. But I had heard that they recorded him for something.
Were you not there?
I was not. They recorded him like over the phone. He was in Boston or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think he flies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hot
yeah.
dish.
Or it doesn't
hot
fly
dish.
Anymore or something. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just a giant fan of the band. Saw him tons of times growing up because they were from Boston. I was in Springfield, Mass. That's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So they would frequently come to town and play small theaters, or they eventually started to headline shows at the Springfield Civic Center. I saw them countless times and just thought they were the greatest live band. This is before like Freeze Frame and the MTV fame. They were just kind of staples on the New England circuit.
I mean, right. they have that kind of sound. I mean, they have a bar band type sound. Like they have like a Boston, like, I don't know, a rock band. They have a very traditional rock band sound.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. R&B and old school rock and roll influenced bluesy rock band.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of my favorite bands are, I mean, the E Street Band is really that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. if you kind of break them down to their core, they're just like, they're just a great, great bar band, or NRBQ and Southside Johnny, all those type of bands. But the thing with Jay Giles, Peter Wolfe, I think, was like the great, like one of the great frontmen for any rock band ever. Mm-hmm. And that's why I can't believe just on that alone, they're not in the Hall of Fame.
Jay Giles' band is not fronted by Jay Giles.
Correct.
Jay Giles right. is the guitarist.
Guitar mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
And kind of ironically ended up being the one who split up the group a little bit. I mean, especially in the later days, they toured without Jay Giles. He has passed since a few years ago.
Right.
But they were touring without him, and he ended up suing
as
them.
As the Jay Giles Band?
There was, it got nasty.
I mean, that is one way to ensure that, you know, that seems wild to tour without the Jay Giles of the Jay
right.
Giles Band.
Like, yeah.
That's a bold move.
You should always own the rights to your name.
Yeah.
that's a good idea, yeah.
There were lawsuits and all sorts of stuff that got pretty messy
yeah.
before.
Well, there was a period of time where they were starting to achieve some fame, and then Peter Wolfe married Faye Dunaway.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
right.
And then we started hearing stories, because they were still a Boston band. You were hearing stories of like arriving separately to gigs and mm-hmm. leaving separately, separate dressing room, where they used to be one of those kind of hardcore like road bands,
all
like
in the van together,
like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Faye Dunaway doesn't play like that. She's not trying to be in your stinky van.
Yeah.
I blame all the problems on Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
Not just
know,
in the Jay Giles bit, but
world.
The world in general.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Honestly.
Right. It was Faye.
It's always a woman's fault.
I mean, she fucked up the Oscars
anybody?
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, wait, there is something to this theory.
Okay.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
Hold up.
Our most sacred institutions, the Jay Giles Band,
the
Oscars.
Oscars, yeah. Faye. Fuck.
Faye.
Peter Wolfe started running in circles, probably having to do with Faye Dunaway. You know, he was a close friend of Jan Wenner and still is.
Wild that he's not in that. Yeah. Like, this is some crazy stuff.
Right.
It feels almost a little bit like some sort of conspiracy.
Well, and yet, because we will talk about this later, but like...
yeah, hold up with your conspiracy.
All right, well, I'm getting out.
All right, don't be a Jan Wenner. But you actually aren't, because the people who blame Jan for their band not getting
yeah,
it
there's
Jan
a
Wenners.
Term we have that right. we've come up with called Jan Wenner, which is a thing that happens a lot, which is that if a band is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, often Jan Wenner, who is, you know, he's the chairman of the foundation for the Rock Hall, and he kind of started it, he is an easy scapegoat for people. And for as long as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has existed, bands that aren't in go, well, you have to be one of Jan Wenner's buddies to get in. It's like Jan has always hated
like,
us.
Hey, guys, point to Peter Wolf.
Well, yeah, this really represents...
Now, this is the flip side of
the
that,
flip side
which
of the
is...
coin. And also, the funny thing is all those bands, it's always bands like Kiss or Chicago or Bon Jovi, all bands that have eventually gotten in.
Right.
So there's clearly nothing to this theory other than the fact that, like, you're not that great and you don't get in immediately, but you'll get in eventually because you are good, but, like, relax.
And
it's theories.
I mean, the other thing is now all of these multiple nominations for good old Jay Giles go.
I mean, it's
are making more sense to me knowing that they are buddies.
Right. Absolutely.
This is what I mean, because they're like a very often nominated but yes. never inducted band. How many do they have
five.
The most nominated? No, five?
Five, which is
what is
up
the
there.
Most that someone has? Is it Chaka Khan?
No, I think it's Chaka Khan and Rufus, it's like I think together have five. Like Rufus has had three, Chaka Khan by herself has had two, LL Cool J has had five. I think Chuck Willis, who is like an
who
old rock and
that?
Roll dude,
okay.
Who did like CC Rider and was like the king of the stroll. He's like a 50s dude.
Okay.
He's been nominated, I think, six times, but hasn't been on the ballot since like 2011. I'm sorry that I sound like a computer just spouting information. I turned into a robot for a second.
I think it's over for him, though, Chuck Willis.
I don't think Chuck Willis is showing up on the ballot.
And
again.
He's six times, you said?
Six times. Okay. But yeah, Jay Giles is right underneath
How
there at five.
How many was Sheik nominated?
Oh, Sheik was nominated 11 times.
11. So it was Sheik
really?
Had the
I guess
most.
Sheik is maybe, I mean, now that Nile Rodgers
Sheik
is in.
Sheik was the most yeah. nominated,
but Sheik
I
still,
think.
Technically, as a band, is not in. So they are, I guess, at the
they
top.
They will never get in, though, because now we have Nile.
They
in,
put Nile in
way.
As like a consolation prize, which maybe even is a good fix to that problem. Anyway.
Okay, but Jay Giles' band has been nominated five times.
Five times.
Because that is one of the ones where we have often been like, wow. Mm-hmm. Jay Giles band getting
showing
a lot
up.
Of yeah. nominations, yeah.
Showing up
on the ballot. Wonder why. And now I know about the Jan Wenner connection. It's coming. It's
so,
coming out.
One of the issues and like kind of problems with trying to talk about music in this sense is that it's subjective. You know, how do you really determine who is worthy of the Hall of Fame when you can't really be super objective about these things. So as a true nerd, I have come up with
Remember
a list
said
of...
he was a robot a second
yeah.
ago.
Okay.
I've come up with a list of criteria that I think if you do well in these criteria, then you have a good case for induction.
Oh, all right.
So we are going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to see how the Jay Giles band stacks up. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. We hope over the break you listened to some Tommy James songs.
That you listened to some Tommy James and also that maybe you mused about who the people are that write the songs that you like the most.
I think it's Barry Manilow, right? Technically, like, isn't it? He writes the songs.
Is
from
he
what
in?
I, no, my God.
Oh, all right.
No. I think, I mean, the lines are blurry of what determines rock and not rock, yeah. but I think Barry Manilow is far on the side of not rock.
See, I get confused a lot. I have moments of, like, over the course of my life when it comes to music, these moments of rage. But I get confused between the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Grammys.
Okay, sure.
Like, you know, I remember like running out of my living room the year the Beatles were nominated for Hey Jude and Simon and Garfunkel won for Mrs. Robinson. I was just fucking livid. I was like the angriest kid in Massachusetts. I ran out of the room, and I wouldn't watch the rest of the show.
Uh-huh.
I like the next day at school, I was furious.
just throwing your hands up in the air.
I can call it back so easily right now. Like that moment and the year like Springsteen lost to Lionel Richie, like those kind of moments. Like,
yes.
But I think those are Grammy moments, not Hall of Fame moments. So let's not get sidetracked.
We've
a different
talked
podcast.
About it before, but that's one of the reasons I think the Grammys is decidedly worse than the Hall, is because they can fuck up like that and it's irreparable.
Right,
but with the Hall of Fame, like if someone's not in that you like, it can still happen.
That's
There's
true.
Still
yeah.
hope, and you know, you can't. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the Jay Giles Band. First eligible for the 1996 induction ceremony. Nominated 5 times: 2005, 2006, 2011, 2017, and 2018. Do they have connections to the Hall of Fame? Absolutely.
Wow.
And Peter Wolf has shown up quite a bit. He was there the second year he inducted Jackie Wilson. He was there in 2015.
Wait, Peter Wolf inducted Jackie Wilson?
Peter Wolf, yeah. They had Peter Wolf induct. Give the speech.
Oh, that was in 1989. Oh, okay. 87. Okay.
Yeah.
So they were like pretty much, they were like on the pulse at that point.
I mean,
point.
He was still like a big name.
Yeah.
You know, even though the band, I think at that point, had probably broken up. And then in 2015, he inducted the Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
We saw that part,
yes.
And I don't remember.
He gave
his being.
And then also, if you
talking about that, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band and Jay Giles and like that kind of,
you can
seems,
see the line.
Yeah, you can see the line. What
Absolutely.
Were you saying, Joe?
I was going to say, if you Google image search Peter Wolf, Jan Wenner, you get a lot of pictures from induction ceremonies. And not necessarily ones that he was at. I mean, the ones that he inducted people. Like in 2010, he did perform when they inducted a guy named Jesse Stone, who was a songwriter who wrote like Shake, Rattle, and Roll. He played a song called Money Honey with the Paul Shaffer Band. But again, there's a great picture of Jan Wenner, Peter Wolf, and Kid Rock. Who is kind of a mainstay at the induction
Good
ceremony.
God, Kid Rock
this,
is going to get in the fucking...
I know. Here's the thing. He was kind of... Kid Rock was beloved by Ahmet Erdogan, weirdly, who with Jan Wenner was kind of in charge of the Hall.
Yes, I remember the Ahmet Erdogan Award.
Right.
But he's a bad dude.
He's not a great guy. He's also dead. So I don't think we need to worry about Kid Rock getting in the Hall of Fame. That was... Good. Listen, it was tragic for him to die... But if it means Kid Rock doesn't get
in. I was just thinking about how they need to rename that award too.
They probably do. Yeah. But anyway, this was from like 2006. And then you can find other pictures where it's, Peter Wolf, Jan Wenner, Keith Richards, and Robert Plant sitting at a table together. And this is from like 2004. So Peter Wolf shows up to these ceremonies a lot.
Just straight up looking like a character out of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, he's got a lot of accessories.
Like really got, wow.
But if anyone
looking like a low rent Slash a little bit too.
If anyone,
that top hat
yes.
and the sunglasses. What's,
he's got a little Stern in him.
Yes.
With,
yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. He's got a little Ocasic.
Yes. He's like an Ocasic. Classic Stern doing Slash cosplay.
With a little bit of Muppet. Like with the hat and the hair and the sunglasses. I
oh,
get a
yes.
little Zoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I get a little Zoot.
A little.
Yeah. But if anyone is playing the game the way you sometimes have to be inducted, Peter Wolf is doing that for sure. He is showing up a lot. And before we get into the categories, I just want to say one of the reasons, Mike, that I reached out to you about Jay Giles is a tweet from December 20th, 2016. Jay Giles Band doesn't...
I'm going to guess late at night.
Jay Giles Band doesn't make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Kiss is already in. Rigged. Unfair. Apologize.
Oh, this was during the Trump campaign.
After the election.
This was right
this
after
was
Trump
right
got
after
elected.
This is when Trump was tweeting rigged, unfair, apologize.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So,
so there's some context
to
it.
Yes, oh, totally, yeah. Okay.
But the rage is real.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, you...
Yeah,
you,
to me, Kiss was a novelty act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah. I mean, like you can make a case for Kiss given how big, how popular they were, and what blah blah blah. This isn't about Kiss. It's about the Jay Giles.
But you could
Band.
Make that case, like for the Archies. you know.
You know, this is we shouldn't go down this road.
Someone made the case for the Monkees recently.
That's true. You
know? I saw the Monkees live in 1967. I thought they were great.
But was it them
playing? It was them playing. Okay. But there was other musicians course, also yeah. on.
Filling it out.
They had like a backup band. But yeah, they were they were kind of like learning on the job. You know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, and to their credit, they figured some stuff out. Let's talk about the first category for the Jay Giles Band, which is critical acclaim. I mean, like, there's one critic I can think of who likes them quite a bit named Jan Wenner. But they, you know, I actually wouldn't consider them, though, critical darlings. Nor would I say that they were derided by the critics, but it's just, I think they were respected, you know, they're almost in a journeyman kind of sense of like, they do a good job.
That's
they show
what
up.
I feel like. Here's my impression of the Jay Giles Band. This is not going to be like me doing an impression
of Peter Wolf. Oh, I really
thought. Yeah. No, this is my...
I will maybe do an impression of Peter Wolf in a second if you want.
Oh, really? Yeah.
There's stuff going on there.
I would enjoy that. I know the song Centerfold, and then I heard you mention the song Freeze Frame, and I was like, oh yeah, that's them too. I grew up on MTV in the 80s, 90s, and I remember the video for Centerfold and the whistling part, and that is literally what
that's
know
where you
about
stop in terms of your knowledge.
Giles Band. Now I'm learning that they are from Boston, and that... That's really, I mean, that Peter Wolf used to date Faye Dunaway.
Yeah. Was he married?
They were married,
yeah,
I think.
Oh, he got married to Faye Dunaway. Yeah. He was Mr. Faye Dunaway for a while. So.
Yeah. Mr. Faye. Okay. So, yeah, I think the critical acclaim, they're doing okay. Sometimes the way that we measure critical acclaim is if they've shown up on a Rolling Stone list. Like the magazine put out a list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Do either of you think that the Jay Giles Band has an album on the list of the 500
now,
greatest?
Here's what I want you to know. I'm very good at this usually. Oh, okay. I was very, last episode I got within five of.
She said, yes, they're on the list, and then gave
a
number.
I said they're at 361 and they were
close.
At 365. Like I did.
Wow.
But I'm.
It was
but
fucked up.
Here's the thing that's really going to be fucked up about this is because I do not think that they have an album on the 500 albums list. But then I know that Jan and Peter are palling around, and I'm like, are they palling their way into the upper echelons? Because I think if they've got an album in there, it's in the last 25. I think we're looking between 475 and up.
Okay.
If they have an album in there, and I think it's the Jan Wenner factor that got 450 and up.
Okay, sure. All right. This is an interesting answer. What do you think, Mike? Do you think Jay Giles Band has an album on this list?
My immediate reaction would have been no. Uh-huh. But you got me wondering now with the Jan Wenner thing, if maybe...
Think of how many pictures there are.
If Freeze Frame somehow slipped in near the end because of the commercial success... but personally, if I was going to pick one, I would have done the Full House album, which I still think is one of the great live albums that kind of captured what I love about the band.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, I'm going to say no, they don't.
Okay, so this is interesting because they are not on the list of the 500.
Okay,
but there is something to what Kristen said because. I would say very weirdly, a Peter Wolf solo album from the early 2000s
what?
Is on the list.
No.
Of the top 500?
And it's,
no.
And it is 427.
No.
Peter Wolf Sleepless.
No.
Which is so clearly Wenner.
Wow.
It's Wenner being
Wenner
like, my
just
buddy.
Slid one in there. He didn't even put in the Jay Giles Band. He's like, Peter, I got you.
And this list came out maybe a year after this Sleepless.
So, yeah. 500 greatest albums of all time by a person. Is Tommy James on this list?
No.
Don't answer that because I'll have to answer it later.
I like that you've gone from not knowing who Tommy James is to fighting for
him.
Tommy James.
No, I'm just like, to me, I just can't. Believe that I
that's pretty brazen
that is wild
yeah
and Peter Wolf solo
from 2002 no less
this yeah. is that is and to think that there's probably like an album that I really like you know in the after it You know.
Oh, yeah. Or they didn't make the list. Yeah. So I think what you guys were kind of circling around that.
425.
Which is that Giles Banner not on there, but outrageous. A Peter Wolf solo. Yeah. Very weird.
They took a spot from someone who deserved it. Do you like Peter Wolf solo stuff?
Some of the individual tunes I do, but this is shocking. I mean, I'm still about the band.
I don't mean to, like, do you think it should be on the list? But, like, do you still follow his solo career? Do you care about it at all?
Occasionally, there was and I'm going to blank on the song. I can't think of the song a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's been sporadic. I don't follow it as closely as I used to.
Yeah.
But if he was in town playing, I would definitely go see him.
Okay.
Is he still out there playing?
He plays a lot in the Northeast. I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he plays a lot in the Northeast. But somebody had told me he doesn't fly anymore.
He doesn't travel.
So, you'd have to fly to see him.
Interesting. I would say the Jake Isles Band, I don't know that I would put any of their albums in the kind of category of what we think of as classic albums. You know, when people make lists, their albums usually don't show up. But it's interesting that you bring up that live album.
Where they just do the Full House theme song?
Yeah, they just did different variations.
I'd love to hear that. The Jake Isles Full House theme song.
Everywhere You Look, right?
Yeah, Everywhere You Look. Yeah. Whatever happened to predictability? Wow. Yeah.
Okay. But I think what you said, the fact that it's a live album, I think speaks to what a lot of the Jake Isles Band advocates and fans like about that group is that they have a reputation as one of the great live acts of all time.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Which is maybe why it is hard for some to fully get on board the way maybe you are as someone who has seen them live a lot. And if you're just judging by the record.
To me, they fall into that kind of like Cheap Trick category of like a band whose fans are rabidly supportive of their live stuff, where like kind of like you got to see them live
to get it
type thing, where like maybe the live recordings would be more,
indicative of what the band is and the sound of the band is really them playing live.
Yeah, and it's also, that's how you first heard a lot about certain bands. I mean, like Springsteen, you were starting to hear rumblings around like the Northeast. There's this guy in New Jersey. He's got this great. So you start to hear like Bob Seger. I was hearing Bob Seger's name before I ever heard any of his music.
Man, I got back into the song Ramblin' Gamblin' Man recently.
Oh, it's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Is it really?
I was like, oh shit. I love this
song. That might
song.
Be his, for me, that's my favorite
That is
Seger
the
song.
Best Seger song.
Yeah, so there were certain albums like that where you first heard the band, like the Allman Brothers, I first heard the Fillmore album, and then went back and got the first,
Idlewild South.
Which was one of my favorites. But you started hearing like about bands that could really put on a show because that's, you were going to get to actually see them and you wanted to know who to spend your, like $5 on.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, also, I think, that is a very singular experience. I don't know of, because everything is so streamed now, your access is immediate. Like, you're always listening to a band before you go see them live. You wouldn't hear that this band is really good live and then just go see them.
Right, yeah.
That's pretty much lost. Like, that's pretty much lost as a way of, like, circulating your name. Like, you're going to do it in support of the stuff that you have out there, but, like, or you could see it when you're seeing someone else. Like, I've still gotten into bands that were opening for bands that I like and stuff.
Right.
But it is harder. I don't think that, the rumblings of the kick-ass live act
I think that's kind of gone with a few exceptions, where people say you got to see them live or like Beyonce, I think, is a great live performer. I've never seen her live, but with the videos, what I've seen is just, mind blowing. It's like
that's truly
showmanship. That's somebody who knows it, not just coming out doing note for note versions of stuff you can hear on the radio.
Yep.
And that's what you used to get with people like the Jake Isles Band. Mm hmm.
As someone who saw Carly Rae Jepsen recently, and I like her a lot. I think she's very good, a fun pop artist. She did note for note. It was like listening to a playlist.
She didn't even talk
in between songs, really. And it was so...
That's disappointing.
Boring. It was disappointing. Like, she can't really dance, too. And so, that's also she can't really. Yeah. She's got kind of like awkward musical theater kid energy.
Yeah, that's
which
no good.
Is like a
I'm
lot
sorry you had to
for
sit
like
through
a
that.
Cool sexy pop star to right. have this like kind of dork energy is weird.
Yeah.
It was not. And I still like her, and I'll listen to her albums, but I don't think I'll ever be like, wow, I've got to go see Carly Rae again. And
you fucked it up, Carly Rae.
Yeah, CRJ.
You lost a fan.
Sorry.
Let's go to the next category, which is iconic or recognizable songs. So we've talked about this already. I think the big one is Centerfold.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Centerfold. My blood runs cold. My memory has just been sold. My angel is the Centerfold. Angel is the Centerfold. My blood runs cold. My memory has just been sold. Angel is the Centerfold. And then Freeze Frame, also a huge hit around the same time. Freeze Frame. Those are like kind of the big 80s hits. Before that, as they were kind of ramping up into the MTV era, there was a song called Love Stinks. And then before that, you're kind of getting into what the band was before their 80s pop turn.
Right.
And I would say the songs that are still kind of recognizable generally to people, it's like definitely a second tier, but Must Have Got Lost. I must have got lost. And there is, I've also heard a live version of that song on the radio, and some of the, to me...
Is this where you're going to do the impression?
The most obnoxious. So sometimes, I mean, one of Peter Wolf's things live is that he would almost like do slam poetry.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
no.
He would like almost,
no,
it's like
no.
a little bit scatting.
Nuh-uh.
It's a little bit like slam poetry. And in the live cut of Must Have Got Lost, mm-hmm. it sounds like he's free associating musical improv a little bit. Like he's going like, and you're sitting there by the phone and you're all alone and you're like, I gotta call that woman. And then I go up to the woman's door and I'm like, Rapunzel, let down your hair. Hey, what's that? What's the long hair? What's your call? Yeah. Rapunzel? She called, yeah, it's called Rapunzel. Yeah, and I'm like, Rapunzel, let down your hair. Yeah. Like,
wait,
sucks.
He's doing like, also like, well, also like getting a suggestion from the crowd. Like,
I think he's,
like,
I think he's
like
talking
that,
to the band.
Oh,
the band.
Okay.
And one of them says, I think one
Reputa.
Of them says Rapunzel, and then another one goes, Reputa, and he grabs that.
Reputa.
He goes, yeah, it's Reputa.
No.
Reputa the Beauty.
Yeah, Reputa
no.
the Beauty. That's like his whole thing.
No.
And I watched a little bit of him performing Money Honey at when he was doing the Jesse Stone thing at the Rock Hall. It's the same fucking thing where he's like, money, M-O-N-E-Y, you know it's a thing you gotta have, but you don't want it.
It's a song about L-O-V-E, and if you abuse it, you're gonna lose it, and if you lose it, you're gonna abuse it, and if you abuse it, you ain't gonna be able to choose it, because you ain't gonna have it further on down the line. Things ain't gonna be so fine. You're gonna be sitting there on your little machine trying to look and keep it clean. You're gonna be playing bingo all night all alone. That's why you're sitting there by the telephone, and you know that she ain't going to call you.
I think, I'm trying to think if there's anything. Oh, Give It to Me. You got to 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 give it to me.
It was a hit. So,
yeah,
like it was
absolutely.
On our like top 40 radio where I grew up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was like a regional hit, but I think it was a national.
I think it was a national hit,
yeah.
For sure. But then,
these were in the 70s. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think after that, that's kind of in terms of what generally people know.
Well,
like if you're not a huge fan.
With the exception of like Looking for a Love. It's a cover, but
right.
it's kind of became their signature,
which was something
song.
They would do is kind of pluck obscure R&B songs.
Yeah. And first, I look at the purse and stuff
right,
like that. Yeah.
Which it was the Contours.
Oh, First I Look at the Purse. Did they cover
by
that?
The Miracles. Yeah.
I know
yeah.
that song.
Part of their thing is that they were very and there's a quote actually about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where he talks about this, being that the Jay Giles Band is so involved in roots and we have a long history of trying to share our influences, our blues influence, R&B influence, and rock influences, it's nice to be sort of in the nomination post along with the historical meaning of a part of rock and roll. So part of what the Jay Giles Band was to a lot of people was they were showcasing the music that they loved and
right,
bringing
yeah.
the old R&B and bluesy stuff.
But putting
to a
their own
audience.
Spin on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then making, yeah, new.
In the long line of white guys putting their own spin on the blues.
Right.
They finally just, you know, they did it. They were willing to go there, man. Good for them.
Which is
wow.
a thing that.
How brave.
And then the next category is commercial success. And, you know, especially when we got to the early 80s, that's when things kind of blew up for them. And, you know, but that was like their 10th album, Freeze Frame. Like it came after 10, 11 years of, you know,
road dogging it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being
and
road
I
warriors.
Remember, you know, being very happy for them financially. Like, oh, good. They're finally getting some recognition.
Yeah.
And they're making
but
some
money.
But now
I'm not going to be able to get a $5 ticket to their show.
Well, and also, like, as an album, like I felt like it was too slickly produced. It had lost some of the stuff that I loved about them live, which was kind of the rough edges. Mm-hmm. But I was very happy for them.
If they can make money, isn't
yeah,
that nice?
That they were finally getting recognized. So,
yeah. So I'd say, yeah, commercial success is like, they weren't like among the best-selling artists of all time, but also, you know, they sold a lot and they still get played on the radio. And the next category is longevity. And, you know, I think they do pretty well in this, especially given that they started in the early 70s and
right.
then they started having huge hits in the early 80s.
Yeah.
You know, they broke up in the mid-80s, or I think Peter Wolf probably left 82 or 83. And then they did release an album without him after that, which is, you might even not even consider that a Jay Giles
yeah, no.
album. Without Peter Wolf,
yeah.
what is that really?
Peter Wolf was off making his iconic
he was
album.
Gearing up for his 2003 release.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say longevity, yeah, they did pretty well. You know, they were around for the 70s.
Yeah.
And then a little bit in the early 80s. And then the next category is innovation and influence. Now, I don't know that I can think of a band that was influenced by the Jay Giles Band. Because to me, they seem more like they are so heavily
yeah.
influenced
they're
by the band.
By
other
bands.
Yeah.
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 For me, as far
yeah.
as like you can see where they come from, but where does it go from there?
Right.
You know,
yeah, I do think they're. I would say Steven Tyler as a performer was, and they were both probably coming up in Boston at the same time. There was probably and Jay Giles maybe slightly before them, before
yeah,
Aerosmith.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
I think he was influenced as a performer by Peter Wolf for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you watch the two of them, you know, performing and controlling a stage and actual showmanship. Mm-hmm. I think that was like kind of a thing of both those bands. Like you had to have a great front man.
Yeah.
Now, does know? Peter Wolf not play an instrument? Is he out
Correct.
There sweating?
Right.
Does
yeah.
he put scarves on his? What's who put scarves on their thing first? Is that only Steven Tyler?
I don't think he's got scarves on
no
his
scarves
mic stand.
No scarves on the mic stand?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
well,
not that
there
I believe.
You go.
But yeah.
Just saying, like, Steven Tyler's innovating. He's putting scarves on the mic stand. You know.
There is something
he
interesting.
He stole it from Janis Joplin. But
drawing a comparison between Steven Tyler and Peter Wolf and how much Steven Tyler was potentially aping from Peter Wolf. They're both gaunt, weird-looking men who do white man scatting.
Yeah.
You know, and
They both have a patter. It's kind of like a DJ on the like the midnight shift.
Yes.
Patter.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That all you cats and kittens.
Yeah.
Out there,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Kind of a Wolfman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Peter Wolf was a DJ. He was a radio DJ before he started making music, or probably while he was getting into those first few bands of his.
all I can think of is now you brought up the scatting of Steven Tyler and just the ending of the song Ragdoll where I mean, that is bold. And he made it work. He did.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that was a popular song.
It really was.
I know that they had, they were being called the American Stones, Jay Giles Band. But then
by whom?
Very quickly.
I've said that. Yes.
It was Mike. It was Mike. Mike. I was talking to Mike earlier.
Well, also the same thing with a very like frontman driven show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think
and a blues based, you know,
Aerosmith very quickly took that
exactly, yes,
mantle
yeah.
from them as they ascended very quickly. Okay, last category, and I think this is the most important one, sometimes is, does my mom know who they are? And she does, for sure, because they were like a popular, yeah. I mean, because
I bet
of like
my
freeze
mom
frame.
Has seen the Jay Giles Band. Like, if centerfold. They were in town, my mom would be like, "We're good. Let's do it. Sounds great." she probably, like, I don't know if she's ever seen them live, but she certainly could have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom loves a bluesy rock band. Yeah, yeah. My mom's seen the Stones a many a time.
The thing is, they have name recognition. A lot of people know who the Jay Giles Band are, but I do think there is something to the fact that they are considered an 80s band. Like, I don't think the full scope of their career is really recognized, and they're kind of thought of like, oh, that's maybe second tier band that had some hits in the 80s.
And also, dare I say, almost considered a one hit wonder of the 80s. Not to say that Freeze Frame didn't make waves, but like, Centerfold was a fucking
number
juggernaut.
One hit.
Yeah,
like, you know, and it was everywhere. And when you think of the Jay Giles Band, that's what you're thinking of. You're thinking of, oh yeah, that one song from the 80s. You're not thinking of this breadth of, you know, discography, if you will.
Yeah. It is time for our verdict. Do you think the Jay Giles Band should be inducted? Will they be inducted? And how long will it take? I mean, they've been nominated 5 times. When do we think it's going to happen? And you can fully use this as a stump speech if you want, Mike. Actually, anticipate and expect it.
No.
Kristen, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I go for, and this is, okay, to look you in the face and say what I'm about to say, though, Mike, it hurts.
Should they?
Should they? Well, here's the thing. Based on the criteria that we have agreed upon, I don't know that they should, because I don't think that they are necessarily going to open a tributary to like get other bands that I think are important in, or it's like you can't have these other bands in without having the Jay Giles Band in, for example. Like, there's nobody who's like a next generation shoe-in
influenced by Jay Giles
that was so influenced by Jay Giles that to not have them in, it is a crime. And just, I think that their impact, while it may have been personal for some, might not have been as, global. I don't think that they're going to get in. I think that they've had many opportunities. I think that Wenner has really flexed his muscle in a way we don't often see.
And what should be noted also is that little Steven is also, he's really
obviously
the one going to bat for them consistently.
Because,
I mean, we've talked about how Jan Wenner's influence isn't really that great anymore. He's not on the nominating committee. He's mostly hands off. I mean, with Rolling Stone, he can do whatever he wants. But within the Rock Hall, his influence isn't as strong as people think. And it's really, by all accounts, little Steven who is pushing for the Jay Giles Band consistently,
and he's been too busy trying to get stupid singles in and fucking it up over there. He's probably not been able to put a lot of muscle behind it. Is he buddies with Peter? Are they pals?
For sure.
Whenever either like Steven plays with his own band on the East Coast, or particularly in New England, or Bruce with the E Street Band, usually, like if they're at Fenway Park or the TD Arena, I'm gonna say Boston Garden, but it's not
whatever it's called now.
You can almost guarantee that Wolf will be in the show by the end at some point. They'll pull him up on stage.
So I think that maybe their influence, as far as like their influence in the nominating committee, is waning,
as, I mean, 2017, though, I think might have been, I think that could be their last nomination.
It was 2018.
2018? Jesus Christ!
2018, they were nominated, and that was right after Jay Giles' death. So okay, it felt, so kind of like, felt like if that go. Was ever going to happen.
It should have happened, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe right. someone will make, if they have got a secret story, maybe someone will make a documentary about them. I think that's the best, yeah. that's your best chance.
Maybe otherwise, Peter Wolf has to marry somebody famous
yeah,
again.
Yeah, maybe he can marry somebody marry famous someone,
maybe
again.
Marry Ariana Grande.
Maybe he and Slash can have a mix-up. They switch hats. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of scandal that happens. I'm not sure
no,
what it's going to take. But to me, I don't see it coming.
All right, Mike.
And my apologies, Mike.
It's again, if stump away if you'd like to.
Yes.
Should they, will they, when?
Should they? Absolutely. Do I have to give a reason?
I mean, if you want to.
Well,
if
should
you feel
they?
Like
based
it,
on your criteria, there are several that they do not meet.
Uh-huh.
But, in terms of the live performance was one of your categories.
It was not.
No? It was not.
No.
Well, I'm making it one, but I'm also okay. using it. I'm checking it off like three or four times mm-hmm. To go over other categories.
Yeah, to bleed out a little bit into the other ones.
Listen, they yeah. might not have any classic albums, but they have many classic live performances.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's an interesting distinction, and it's something that we have not really talked about much on this show, I think, which is does being a great live band, regardless of what else is going on with your records or your influence, like, is that enough to make a case?
For me, yes, because the live performance aspect of music is huge to me. Mm-hmm. That I don't want to go see a band that where I know everything that's going to happen before I even get there, and how everything, every bit of patter is exactly the mm-hmm. same every night. The set list never changes. That just bores the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So, and I think there was a lot of bands around that time. In the 70s is when bands were learning, like, how do we perform live? Like, what? How do we put on a show for people
yeah.
to make them actually want to buy a ticket to see us as opposed to just buying the album? Mm-hmm. And I think they were one of the bands that made other bands realize we got to step up our game. Like, these guys aren't as successful as we are, and they're already a better live act. And I think a lot of bands were influenced by the live performance of them. I would make the argument, and you see what the people who are fans, like Springsteen and the Stones, who are fans of the band, Little Steven, they're all like good live performers. Mm-hmm. So I think they did have an influence in that regard. I think they actually were kind of underrated songwriters, Peter Wolf and Seth Justman together. And they hung in there for a long, there was longevity. So for me, they were, and I'm also comparing to people that I have seen go into the Hall of Fame,
certainly
who
certainly.
Bore the shit out of me,
yeah.
you know, or
who Jay Giles Band could blow away.
Yes, totally, yeah. totally. And if people are listening still at this point, I mean, you can go online and find, you know, some clips. There's not a lot from the 70s. There's some like black and white security yeah. camera footage, shit like that.
Yeah.
But you can get certainly a sense of how exciting they were live. But also they would pop up occasionally on Letterman. Letterman was a big fan.
Okay.
And you can find a performance of them doing Looking for a Love on Letterman. And even then, and this was like they had already like broken up and gotten back together a couple times. And Peter Wolf winds, they're playing Looking for a Love and he's working the crowd. And they didn't look like a bunch of old guys like reliving, you know, some yeah. past glory.
I'm trying to think what Peter Wolf. He's a letter man, but he's a man with letters. And he,
yeah, yeah.
yeah. I'm sure there's something like that in there.
So yeah, so I would say they absolutely should be in because there's a lot of bands that, particularly '80s bands, that there's a lot that I just think were kind of boring and like one hit wonders, literally, you know, and some of them maybe a couple, but were they influential? And this, I don't, when I mm-hmm. see the list of some of the people getting in, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think there should be a separate category. I've always felt for like kind of the road dog bands,
mm-hmm.
That people know, you know, like Southside Johnny or NRBQ or Drive-By Truckers and these great live acts that mm-hmm. work, you know, 200 or 300 nights a year.
Yeah.
You know,
call it the Dick Dale Award.
Yeah.
Perseverance in
yeah.
live performance.
Yeah. I think a category for those bands would have been an exciting, fun category to recognize the bands that kind of slip through the cracks. of commercial success.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a fun, honestly, that's a great idea. And I like you calling it the Dick Dale Award too. Yeah, I think this is
I don't know if you know details of Dick Dale, especially towards the end.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was on the road constantly and literally bringing out his colostomy bag when he would perform.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, like...
I read that Twitter thread about him playing guitar, walking across the street, sees during a live show, walking across the street while playing guitar, getting a sandwich, eating the sandwich all while playing guitar, and then going back onto the stage.
And this is probably while he was, you know, 80 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a
how did you know, like, how did people know he had the colostomy bag?
Oh, I mean, I believe he would just like wheel out medical equipment. Like he would, and I think also he just like was open about
it. So he wasn't like trying to pass it off as like a Peter Frampton talk box thing or just these tubes coming down.
I mean, he wasn't thrilled. I mean, I think in interviews, he would just be like, this is what I have to do. Like, this isn't easy for me. Like, I don't have a lot of money, and I go out there and I make my fucking, I have a lot of medical bills, and I have to be out there and I have to make the money to pay for that. And my bags.
It would also be a way to get Dick Dale just some sort of recognition because he has not been
right,
adopted.
Yeah.
There's a lot to admire in people like that. I remember when I first moved out here, like the Blasters were just kind of taking off and X, and I got to see
the LA punk scene.
The LA punks, yeah. And I thought the Blasters, I thought, were incredible. Just once again, a great live act, good tunes. And then I saw them 20 years later at the Malibu Inn out on PCH, and there was. Like, I saw him at the Palladium with, like, several thousand people there, and then at the Malibu Inn with, like, 50 people, and they were, like, wheeling in their own equipment and setting it up,
and
one of the brothers, like, had a bad limp, and they're like, these guys are fucking awesome. What's going on?
Yeah. And also, all these people just there to drink wine I and really get their think, faces rocked
I think
off.
Because the Hall of Fame is also, like, struggling to find rock bands, and if you look ahead 5 years, there's more and more falling away of like people who you could bring into the, you know, quote, like Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to open up a category for these kinds of bands that, you know, people have heard names like sometimes, or they know one or two songs, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the Hall of Fame should
a cool idea.
Hall of Fame should be educating people on the history of rock.
Yeah.
I mean, we went into watching that one induction ceremony where we didn't know about the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, but then to learn about them and what they were about and how they influenced
people.
I was
like, oh, surprise, I like them. I had no idea.
That should be part of the function of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I always tell people too, if you want to understand like showmanship, because I do kind of rant about showmanship and the lack of it in music now, but it is to like watch the Tammy show, which is a black and white thing from the 1960s, recorded at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium. James Brown and the Rolling Stones. It was like Jan and Dean and something else.
And we've talked about it before because we had Bob Merlis on here talking about Leslie Gore.
Oh, I know Bob. Yeah.
Yeah. How Leslie Gore kind of blew everyone away at the Tammy show.
Yeah. And James Brown just like steals it though. I mean, it's one of the most electrifying things you will ever see.
Yeah, I can
imagine. And you can see the Stones. I mean, the legend of what I've heard is they saw like, they hadn't seen James Brown before, and then I guess they saw a rehearsal or saw him at a club a couple nights before they were going to be doing the show together.
Like,
the Stones knew they had to headline the Tammy show, and then they saw James Brown and said, "We don't want to follow this guy.
Right.
He's too good."
Yeah.
And that Tammy show, you can see it, they said it's the first night Mick Jagger was really trying some dance moves.
Yeah, grooving
these kind
bit.
Of very awkward, weird jumps and kicks, and it was because of James Brown.
Yeah,
that's what made him up
Before
his
he
game.
He got his little chicken strut going.
Yeah, exactly.
He was. Just,
yes, it was pre-strutting.
The chicken was still in the egg. He was still about to come out there.
What was I answering again?
Oh,
should
they? Should
they?
Do you think they will? And then, if so, when?
I mean, if it doesn't happen, like in the next probably three, as long as Little Stevens is still in there fighting, I'm going to be a believer, and I'll still cast my votes every year. If Steven drops out, then probably not. But I would still give them at least like another 3 years, I think.
Okay, interesting. You know,
when I make the movie about them,
yeah, of course,
I'll just make a shitty movie.
Yeah,
and
I'm just saying it helps.
I did a documentary about NRBQ.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it went nowhere.
And it didn't get them in the hall, idiot.
It wound up. I did it for VH1 at the time. Like their prototype artist, they said it was like Bonnie Raitt. Bonnie was a giant NRBQ fan. Used to take them on the road with her all the time. And so we made this, I talked, VH1 wanted me to direct actors for an animated pilot they were trying. I said, I'll do it for free if you'll let me make this documentary about NRBQ. And they, okay. So flash forward like a year later, I finally finished the damn thing and go to turn it in. And everyone that I had talked to in that meeting had been fired. And they had changed their brand. Like, oh no, like that, we don't do that anymore. And like, they didn't, when I turned it in, they didn't even know what it was. Like
who are you?
Yeah.
You
I could have
here?
Just kept the and whole
also
thing. And A&E, wound up taking it from us. I didn't charge. I
just put it on there.
Tell the people.
They put it on a Sunday morning on a show called Breakfast with the Arts at 8 a.m.
No. God.
Yeah,
that's well. Yeah, it eventually someone saw it. Yes. We think. Yeah.
And the crazy thing was, we had Keith Richards.
Oh my God! Is
Elvis Costello. Yeah, there's clips online from it.
We'll tweet some clips of it.
REM.
Whoa!
I got A-list talent.
Yeah, yeah. All
really
fans.
Don't know who NRBQ is, but I
know
that's for
NRBQ
another time.
Because when I was a kid, sometimes their songs would be on The Simpsons.
Yes, that was.
I wonder why.
That was my shameless abuse of power during the years I was running.
It got to me. Okay, my verdict is, if I'm trying to be objective, they just don't do very well on these categories. There's not even one category here where they even like do great,
except for your mom.
But that's not even that great, because my mom would be like, oh, yeah, the Jake Isles Band. What did they do? It's not like a recognition that is like, of course, everyone
wow.
knows who they are.
Okay, you can't even get the mom category.
It's hard.
We're in trouble.
It's hard to be objective, and especially like, bands can be great, and that doesn't necessarily mean they deserve to be
that
in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And that's one of the hard things about this. And when we put episodes out and we are not super gung-ho about someone's merits, because we're trying to be objective, people get mad. They get mad because it's their fucking favorite band.
Right.
And it's
and
tough.
And hey, listen, it's Mike's favorite band, and he's right here, and he doesn't hate us. He's not mad at us.
Yeah,
look at how not mad he is. He's actually threatening me right now. He's doing a single finger across his throat.
Mike, put that knife away.
No, it started with the Italian accent and just went downhill from there.
But, good God. But I think they've been nominated 5 times. I think it could happen. And I think it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where they wind up in the top 5 vote getters on a ballot. But I think what it would have to be is they're on a ballot with a lot of not rock acts, but there are still a lot of rock purists in
the
voting body.
They get the zombie vote. They get the zombies vote.
I mean,
this last ballot, the zombies got the classic rock vote. They got the white guys from
the
60s vote. They were like,
because they're up
was
against,
it even the guys who were in the band?
So whoever's inducted the band members.
It was the ones who actually played on the couple of hit records they had.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because there was the fake zombies.
Which was ZZ Top.
ZZ Top?
Yeah.
Right. It was Frank Beard and Dusty Hill. But anyway, I think what could happen, the best shot for Jay Giles' band is if they wind up on a ballot, and on the ballot is De La Soul and Kraftwerk and like Sade and like
Devo
and a bunch of artists that rock purists would be like, I want to vote for a rock band. At the very least, Jay Giles is a rock band and I'll vote for them.
Yeah.
That's the scenario I see. And
so,
I think that can happen in maybe...
Jake Isles getting the protest vote over here, I guess.
In like 10 years
the
or
Gary
something.
The Gary Johnson of the...
All right. Well, let's say they get in, though. Let's say Jake Giles' band gets in. Who inducts them? Who gives the speech?
Letterman's
interesting.
He's a
Steven.
Fan.
I think Little Steven is the choice with a bullet. I mean, Mick and Keith were on that fucking Sleepless record for Peter Wolf. They're friends with Peter Wolf.
Yeah.
So that's potentially in the mix. Could you think of anyone else who could give a good speech for the Jake Isles Band?
shit.
I guess anyone in the E Street Band or Bruce potentially.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce always gives awesome speeches and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think like Steven has been such a supporter,
an advocate, like, yeah.
And he knows his. You know, I love listening to Steve.
Underground
Garage. I love listening to talk about music. Yeah. I've learned so much. Listen, because
I just love the sound of his voice.
Yeah, I like to think that I know, because he can get away with saying shit like "baby" and stuff. Like, yeah. I can't just drop it into conversation.
Yeah, listen to him and Peter Wolf talk. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's going on, baby? Oh, you know how it do, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah.
What songs do they then play in their performance? I think like the most to me, it would be you have to play Centerfold, you have to play Freeze Frame, and then you do Must Have Got Lost, and then maybe Love Stinks. I think that's probably a 4-song set that would make sense, that would please HBO, but then it would be okay for them. Do you have any input, Mike, as an expert?
I would say they probably have to do Centerfold and Freeze Frame.
Yeah.
And then I would, that would be the concession to the
80s. Yeah.
But then I would drop back and do Looking for a Love. Mm-hmm. And maybe just like the instrument, like Whammer Jammer. Yeah, or something like that.
Whammer Jammer, wait. I'm so sorry. Excuse me, you guys.
Whammer Jammer is almost like a Butterfield-y. It's like harmonica.
Exactly. Harmonica-driven.
You have failed me in the fact that we are over an hour into this podcast.
We are nearly done.
And we are first, I am first hearing of the song
Whammer Jammer,
which is like a fucking fake name I would give to somebody. Yeah. I'd be like, we got this Whammer Jammer over here.
Hey,
what is he doing in traffic?
Don't look now, but a bunch of Whammer Jammers just walked
in. Are you out of your mind?
Or Must Have Got Lost would be like, I think that's one of those that where an audience goes, oh shit, I used to
Roxette
love this song.
Could come out
and they would
them.
Be singing along with it. Yeah.
Whammer Jammer, I can't believe that's a real song.
I'm gonna throw Whammer Jammer on at the very end of the podcast.
Has that song ever been played on the radio?
No.
Is that a song that you mean,
it was when I was a kid. Boston. Not top 40 radio, but the FM alternative stations at the time. Yeah, you'd hear it all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, did you know the song Whammer Jammer before you started doing research for this?
No, but when I heard there's like a harmonica line at the very beginning that was recognizable to me. Where I was like, I have heard this, like, this has maybe been sampled or something. It was just like, oh, this sounds familiar. And then it's a lyricless jam centered around the harmonica.
That's 3 minutes long at the most.
They would play a lyricless harmonica song.
But I bet live it was,
20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, they were never a jam band. The songs were always
they were a
pretty
vocal
tight.
Jam band, though. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. He's out there scatting away. He's talking about it. A vocal jam band.
Well, here's a question. If Jay Giles' band gets in,
think this is going to be a yes.
Will you go to the induction ceremony?
You know, I'll say yes, but I bet I won't.
Yeah,
really?
No, I'm pretty lazy.
You're such an advocate.
Or I'll
you're online. You're voting.
I know. Well, you got
to
tweet something.
Yeah, you're such an. You couldn't be lazy. You go to a website every day.
you move your mouse. Well, if they get inducted soon, will you come with us?
Come with us.
Do you guys go?
Yeah,
we went last year.
Was it fun?
And now I have to go
so
every
fun.
Year.
Yeah.
So this is my new life. And it could be yours too.
Yeah, come on.
All right. If they get in, I will go with you.
Cleveland. Yeah, yes. We get to go to Cleveland. We went to New York last year. We get to go to Cleveland this year.
Yeah.
You could see, you
seem thrilled.
So that'd be two reasons to be there, though. You could go to the museum
and
to
the induction.
You could
finally see the
museum. Yes, that's what
days,
I definitely
that's
should
a
do.
That's a weekend trip, you know?
Yeah.
That justifies a plane ticket.
Now, seriously, if you go to the Hall of Fame, do you go like 2 days and can you do?
The museum?
The actual museum.
I did it in under 2 hours, which was a mistake. I have
because you missed out on stuff that was actually
a
great.
Thing that was good.
No, you do it in a day. There's no way.
Oh, okay.
2 days would be insane. Even for me, and I post up at where you can watch footage that you can't find anywhere else of the ceremonies. Even for me, it's like, I'll spend a full day, but like, nah, I'm not coming back the next day. I got shit to do. Mike, thank you for doing the show. Is there anything you'd like to plug? I know you have a TV show coming out very soon.
Oh, yeah. I have an animated show on Fox starting February 16th, 2020, after The Simpsons, called Duncanville. Mm-hmm. It's an animated show created by my wife and I, co-created with Amy Poehler, mm-hmm. who Amy plays two characters in the show. She plays a 15-year-old boy and his mom. And also in the cast is Ty Burrell. And Rashida Jones from Parks and Rec, and Wiz Khalifa.
Well,
future inductee.
All this stuff just getting dropped on me at the very end.
Wiz Khalifa is super funny.
I bet.
Wow, yeah. I bet.
Yeah. And where can people find you online?
More rappers need to be voice actors. You heard it here first. People.
Yes. Yeah. No. I'm like somebody like Snoop is yeah. super yeah. just natural comic
DMX
instincts. Yeah.
Would be great as yeah. a voice. Yeah. Just because he's got. I mean, I'm talking about people with distinctive
I know,
voices.
I know yeah. what you mean.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah. Where can people find you online?
Let's see, yeah, Twitter right? at Scully Mike.
At Scully Mike. Okay. Yeah. Great. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Rock Hall Pod. Email us rockhallpod@gmail.com. If you want Kristen to see it, you're going to have to say that somewhere in the email. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us 5 stars only. If you're leaving a review because of this episode, obviously say Whammer Jammer.
Come on, you got
so
it.
So we know it was this
let
episode.
Let me know if you...
yeah, I mean, there's no question
gotta
there.
Gotta let us know.
I'm doing.
If you just want to tweet
I'm going to start a
Jay
Giles podcast tonight called Whammer Jammer.
Yes. The Whammer Jammer podcast. I have some East Coast dates, Pittsburgh, Philly, New York at the end of August. Check out my, I'll tweet about it at JoeKJoeK. Do you have anything coming up at K-Stud?
You could go to my website. I'm going to do a drag show soon called Yas King.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be all drag kings. It's next Friday. Oh, wait. It might be the day that this dropped.
Drops,
August
yeah.
9th. Yeah, yeah, it's tonight. If Perfect. You're in Los Angeles, come out. 10
Check out the Drag King show. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo. Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music. Thank you to Joe Devine for the equipment. And of course, thank you to the
Willings
family, Cece and Scruff the dogs,
for being good dogs,
for letting us record here. Thank you to Pantheon Podcast. I'm Joe Gozala.
I'm Kristen Stoddard.
Who cares
about the Rock Hall?
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.